Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Katoom, and this is the TechNori Live podcast from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sitting next to me is Kevin Ludden, is it co-founder and head of creative, or how are we going with the name?
It doesn't matter. That works.
Doesn't matter anymore. The tech companies these days, I feel like early on, when I first started doing shows, it was like 2.5 years ago, and everyone's like, no, co-founder. Like, it's super strict, and now it's kind of like,
Egos aside, right?
Let's see. I clean the toilet. I do a lot of the restocking stuff. I'm also the CTO, and the accounting books are in my name.
Absolutely.
Like, awesome. Welcome to the show. FIGO Pet Insurance is what you guys do. I'd love to know, before we even get into this, what FIGO is. And by the way, that is an awesome, awesome name for a pet insurance company.
Well, thanks.
Of course.
We played around with a lot of different names, but that one kind of stuck. We thought it was one of those words. Well, it does have it had no connotation. In slang in Italian, it means a swear word.
Oh, well,
That's about it.
But that's, you'll help get market share there.
But it seems like it's one of those words that's always been around. I don't know. It just kind of rolls off your tongue. So FIGO, we're a technology-based pet insurance company. So we got our start. My business partner kind of came up with the idea. He was in insurance. We were having beers on the back porch one time, and he said, I want to start a pet insurance company. And I said, that sounds awful. Anything with the word insurance to me, I was like, oh my God, this sounds awful. He's like, well, would you help me kind of, I know brand and creative and kind of just flush this out. And I said, yeah, we'll get pizza and beer and invite some people over and we'll talk about voice and tone and all of that. While I was doing just a little research and prep for that Saturday pizza and beer party, just started looking at some of the facts, and I was kind of amazed. 50% of pets in Sweden are insured. It's about 35% in the UK are insured, and less than 1% at that time were insured in the United States. So,
and the amount of money we spend on our pets is absurd.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like a $68 billion industry. Yeah. I mean, we spend more on our pets than we do on cosmetics. So, there's 78 million dogs in the United States. There's 60...
A million of those are in my dogless condo, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
I have one of the dogs in the dogless condo as well. But
that's great. And 86 million cats. So just looking at the opportunity there, it was quite crazy. So, and then I started looking at the competition, and it was, and I don't know, I guess we realized this. There's a lot of unsophistication, if that is even a word, in the pet space. It's really jargony. Everything's pawrific. And and the industry itself, I felt, needed to grow up. So I started looking at some of the competition, and it was awful. Stock photo-y.
Now that you mention it, I mean, we've had a couple of cool pet companies on our stage. And I'm not going to put them out. Most of them actually do a pretty good job of not being like gimmicky, but a lot of them, when doing the research on it, most of them are like the stupid, roof, everything's like roof name stuff. And it's like, what?
Absolutely.
It's not a real business.
And so after this meeting, it was just a couple things came on the wall. And, one thing that we knew right from the beginning is let's not spend the next 10 years talking about insurance. Let's shift that conversation and emotionally connect this brand in some way. And there was a big void of technology at that time. So, we decided that we would really commit to technology and making pet insurance simple. And we knew millennials, they don't go to agents anymore. They don't want face to face. They just want everything to be done for mobile. So, it was at that point that, I joined on, and it was my business partner and I for about 2 years. We were in 1871 for a while, raised a bunch of money, spent about $2 million building this really agile back-end system that connected with insurance, which is pretty great because a lot of these big insurance companies have these heavy old-school back-end systems. So they can't adjust fast, move fast, connect with technology in any way. So, and then we launched in 2016 with our insurance product in all 50 states. And what's really great about FIGO and what actually gets us probably the most attention is our technology. We developed this pet cloud, and your pet cloud is kind of like Dropbox for pets on steroids. All your records go into one place. We're solving an issue where You know, if you ever have an emergency in the
no matter
night,
what you do, you're always scraping through the drawer or through the, like, the dog cabinet for the last printed out receipt.
Absolutely.
When was the last time he got his pills or his shots? No idea.
No idea, right?
Check his tag. I don't have his tag. Sweet. Doesn't even have a tag.
Absolutely. So again, back to that emotionally connecting the brand through technology, also very much on that Zenefits model, building the technology, giving the technology away for free. You know, so everyone can get their own pet cloud. You know, they can put all their records in there. We send you push notifications when your rabies shot's about to expire. You can find pet parks, emergency vet hospitals, all these really cool things with your pet cloud. And then there's an area that says insurance. If you hit it, you can get really great pet insurance.
How does pet insurance work? I assume it's similar to human insurance, but then I always feel like pet insurance is like Apple Care.
Yeah. You know what? I think I was listening to you talk in the segment before.
Yeah, we're with ProCare Health.
About times when the iceberg and whether you would, you know, would do this and you know, and how much effort and times you wanted to quit. And I don't think we would have started a pet insurance company we know now. I mean, it is so complex. You know, we have to do, there's 358 different breeds. And you have to do filings in every state, and every breed, every age, every zip code has a different algorithm or rating manual. So, and filing with the Department of Insurance and dealing with them has been a little bit complex. So
you're going to give me a price quote for my Bezenji?
Yes, absolutely.
My Illinois-based Bezenji?
Your Bezenji. Yeah, absolutely. Right after the show. Yeah. So it's very much like human health in somewhat. We don't cover wellness, but it's injury and illness, accident. So we have three different plans. You
select
your
deductible. Like a Dodge Ram?
No, not a Dodge Ram. But you select your deductible and reimbursement. It's annual. Once you meet your deductible, we'll pay everything out for the rest of the year.
Interesting. I would imagine, similar to anything else, that's got to be fairly lucrative.
It is.
It's also a huge balancing act, though, because I imagine if the calculations on what you think would be the average pet expenditure per year, if it's off by a little bit, you guys lose a bunch, but if it's
well,
not, you'd win a bunch.
You know, and we don't underwrite our product. We have a great underwriter called Markel. They've been around since 1932. They're super secure. But there's so many advancements in veterinary medicine, so it's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
So, and it's relatively new. So now there's a new crossbreed of a snickerdoodle or whatever, you know, and it's susceptible to certain
bulldog
diseases.
And the shih tzu, call it bullshit. I had to throw it out there. I had to give a little dumb and dumber quote. We haven't
know
done
that
in
one's
while.
On its way. I'm sure that breed's being created right now. So it's hard to keep up with, and now pets are having human surgeries that they didn't have 5 years ago. So now we have
dogs
to figure
are having
that
knee
up.
Replacements.
So there's a it's not as lucrative, you think, mainly because of it's your constantly playing catch up.
From my angle, I was actually thinking that totally in the wrong direction, because in my brain I was thinking the markup that they have for, like, when you come in to give your dog this or that, it's like $500 for everything. It's like going to take my car in. No matter what happens, it bills $300. Doesn't matter what it is. And so you think there's got to be a huge markup there, but I guess in insurance, that actually wouldn't work in your favor because they're marking the price up, so, like, they're just eating up the deductible quicker.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, dealing with veterinarians, they're a little bit reluctant to even associate with. They like pet insurance. They love it because it extends the pet's life, and people don't go into debt because of their pet. Have to make those tough decisions about your pet's health based on financial. But, you know, they want to take care of pets. Most veterinarians, that's what they do. That's, you know, what they were meant to do. And they don't want to have to deal with any insurance or paperwork or anything in that matter.
Do you think that it's like, is that a challenge for you? Like, do these veterinarian clinics, the ones that I would assume, like a hospital, they have to accept pet insurance?
No, they don't.
So I don't mean that they have to, but like, in order for you to be able to use insurance, you have to go to a veterinarian clinic that accepts pet insurance.
Well, that's their fear.
Yeah.
And that's why
ours does. Like the place that we take Bure to does accept pet insurance, which is sweet. But I would think, like, that's got to be a big part of your position in the company, is to try to make sure that not only are you providing awareness of all of the pain in the ass parts of owning a pet and caring for it, and that's on the owner's side, but also informing everyone of the value of pet insurance. I mean, just the need for it and the money savings. And I mean, I feel like even though the vets may not like it, I think it would probably benefit them long term.
Well, it does. And our workaround is we're on our reimbursement model. You can go to any licensed vet in Canada, United States, or Puerto Rico, you pay that bill, and then you take a picture of that bill with your phone, upload it, answer a couple questions, and get paid electronically. So we reimburse you, so they don't have to do any of the paperwork. That's one reason they love FIGO.
Actually, simplifies thing for them, actually. Yeah. So they use that. So then there you go, the Zenefits model.
And most pet parents don't know they need pet insurance until something goes wrong with their, next pet, they're like, I'm definitely getting pet insurance,
I feel like that's a big thing, though, because I know that I've heard, you see everyone and their brother walking around a little tiny dog here, a little chihuahua around downtown Chicago. And I feel like I've heard numerous people talk about getting pet insurance now. Hopefully they're using you guys.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, it's the fastest growing. It's the most requested supplemental benefit for employees. We talk about attracting developers and millennials and good talent. You offer pet insurance.
Get some great pet insurance.
Not everyone has children, but you're like, you work here and we'll take care of your pet. That's huge
now. That's awesome.
So, there's just so many different angles. The industry is growing really fast. So, and it's been, it's been really interesting, especially building all this technology to make pet parents' lives easier, which has been pretty cool with FIGO.
So, kind of off the business path here a little bit, you said you started at 1871 and you went and raised down some cash, and now you're kind of rolling. How many people do you guys have working for you now?
So we have about 30 employees nationally. We have 20 here at our headquarters, and then we have territory partners now out in different areas.
So I guess, one of the things I think a lot of audience members, I mean, this is a perfect example of a story that started like a lot of the entrepreneurs that listen to this show want theirs to go. And that is to manage that moment of like, well, we got our space. We're just kind of doing our pizza party and figuring out what we're going to be and who we're going to be when we grow up. And then we figure out what we need. And then you have to meet people in like a politician campaign to raise capital. And then once you have that, we've got to actually put that capital to work and make sure that we do the right thing with it. How did you manage that process? How did you guys as a team continue to stay on that path and sort of continue to work as if you're broke, basically?
I mean, clearly day to day. I mean, again, if you list all that out, it becomes overwhelming. But I mean, some of it, as you know, is pretty organic next steps to take.
I think people get lost in that, though. Like, I mean, obviously you get stuck in the forest, right? But there's also just in general, like, man, I don't even know where to start with this. Like, I know what I want to do, but I didn't realize it was going to take all this money to get there. Like, I'm sure you just didn't necessarily know it was going to cost you $2 million to build the software.
90% of the things that we ended up doing, we didn't know that we needed it at all. I mean, there's definitely some rules. Always ask for a little more than you think you need.
Yeah.
There's, and we were able to paint the picture. I mean, myself being a branding guy, of what this could look like. And we knew the industry, did our research, and we knew we wanted to disrupt this industry. Very blue ocean strategy. Yeah. So anything that we saw that people were doing, we tried to do the opposite.
I was going to say then, so my kind of on the way out the door question I have for you would be that moment when you went to go raise the money, you had to previous to that put together a decent case study for the value here. Like, this is what we could do here. And it had to be, I'm guessing, it had to be more, unless you knew somebody immediately, it had to be more than just saying, well, look at the $68 billion market. There had to be like a step-to-step, like how you thought you were going to get there. How did you guys prove your vision to somebody to get capital to actually build what was necessary to achieve the vision, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, we did it with visuals. I mean, a lot of the raise, we put compelling videos together and painted the picture really well. We didn't put together traditional binders. Yeah. We had other ways to raise revenue that weren't so obvious for them. I think they were, and of course, just the obvious, as you said, there is a compelling case for the rise of pet insurance in the United States anyways. So, and I think people saw our technology and got excited about that and wanted to be a part.
Because I feel like well said. I mean, I feel like one of the things we try to teach all of the startups to come on our stage when we have them do their pitch session is that get away from the junk numbers and the projections and all this other garbage, because the reality is if you don't have your vision sort of fleshed out and you can't make me feel compelled to feel for you or to feel for the cause you're trying to build,
you'll notice that with FIGO. I mean, we're an emotional brand.
Yeah,
we're a lifestyle
brand. I can tell with you.
On purpose. So, and there's that ultimate universal truth, and even with investors, even with everything, and you can always get down to the numbers and you'll get there, but at first emotionally connecting, even with them, painting that picture well.
Tell the story
excited.
And how it's going to change what is.
Yeah.
And then after that, show the opportunity, the market opportunity, and then show how you think you can get to that market and what that might look like. And obviously have some really great technology behind it helps.
Yeah. It's been quite a journey. It was, we spoke at Dreamforce last year. They selected 30 companies from around the world that are using technology in an interesting way. And we were one of the 10s that they featured at Dreamforce. AM Best just had to create a whole new category, which it could be a whole nother discussion for another day. Is insurtech companies are kind of the hot thing. Yeah. And we're the only insurtech company now in the pet space. So
that's awesome. Yeah, we definitely have to come back out here and talk about just like the tech side of this. Or maybe, you know, it'd be great is to have you on. We have the Saturday show as well. I'd love to have you on the Saturday show, or have you and the other co-founder on the Saturday show to talk about what this is, because the listeners we have for live are all pet owners. And they're all like, I mean, I think this would just blow them away.
Very cool. Absolutely.
Awesome. Kevin, thank you so much for coming in here. This has been awesome. Where do people go to get them some pet insurance?
Well, they can go to FIGO, just to our website. So if you Google FIGO Pet Insurance or FIGOPetInsurance.com.
Very cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Of course. You can watch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.